Hi everyone and welcome to the 2019 Viva podcast. I'm Andy Willis and I'm joined today by...
I'm Ellie, I'm the Viva intern.
I'm Rachel, I'm Home's head of film and programme lead for the film section of Viva.
I'm Jessie, I'm Viva festival coordinator and one of the programmers for the film section of Viva.
Now anyone who's listened to the Viva podcast will know that we pick out some of the highlights, but this year we're going to do something a little bit different to begin with. 2019 is the 25th Viva, so we're going to be starting off by thinking about some of our favourite moments or some of our experiences with Viva over the past. Now, Ellie, you've not really worked with Viva that much, but you have attended as a member of the audience. What's it been like from your perspective as someone who's just come along to Viva to enjoy the films and enjoy the events?
It's been really interesting. My first Viva experience was the last Viva that happened at Corner House, so 2015. I went to see Os Phenomenos and a Q&A with the director after. Really, I mean, I love cinema. That's why I'm here. So that was really good. And also, as a student, it was really invaluable. I ended up talking about Os Phenomenos in an essay I wrote in my first year at university and my final year at university. And now I get to be on the other side of it, which is really exciting to actually see everything that goes into it and get to watch a lot of films as well.
Brilliant. So you can't say Viva is not entertaining and educational. So we're ticking lots of boxes that we need to tick at home generally. Now, Rachel, you've worked with Viva for a number of years now. You must have some really good headlines or highlights.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many amazing things about Viva that I love, but the things that really come to mind are quite surprising for me. So I absolutely love welcoming the guests to Manchester and to the festival and showing off the best bits and some of the strange bits of Manchester. So there have been some absolutely amazing guests over the years that I've worked on the festival and some equally amazing Viva parties, some quite notorious Viva parties and some amazing nights out. So some of my favourite Viva moments include taking guests out across the city. So we took German-Spanish actor Daniel Brühl to Gilly's Rock World. And last year I found a shared love of Welsh music with Argentinian director Gabriel Nessi.
Now, I suspect, Rachel, you're getting the listeners now kicking in on nostalgia, not just for Viva events, but also for Gilly's Rock World. No longer with us, but fondly remembered by many people who work at Home and Corner House before. Jessie, you've worked as well on Viva for quite a few years now. You must also have some interesting tales and highlights.
I think my favourite, most memorable Viva probably is the first time I got to work on it from beginning to end, which was Viva 2007, the 13th Viva, because it was the 13th, a special kind of spooky, horror-themed vibe going on throughout the festival. And that included the Vampires Ball, which was, we had a fancy dress competition, and I'm very proud because I won it, dressed up as a vampire. Yeah, it was really good, it was really great fun, really great nights at Corner House there. So it would be nice to be able to recreate that one day. I don't know what's the next spooky number that's coming up though, but there were also obviously great films in that year. That was the year we had Salvador with Daniel Brühl, as Rachel mentioned, a great guest. A pretty kind of crazy way to start the festival, maybe the opening night film featuring garrotting, but yeah, it was good. We also had Havana Blues that year, which was a really nice Cuban film, which actually kind of almost gave you the sensation that you were at a live gig in the cinema with the music scenes in the film. They were really good. And there were also a couple of kind of smaller dramas that year that I loved from Spain, Your Life in 65 and Dark Blue Almost Black, which I still have the poster on my wall at home. I really loved that one. So yeah, 2007 for me was the highlight.
Funny you should mention 2007 because that's one of my highlights. I mean, I'd done some stuff with the festival before that, but that was the first time I kind of fully worked on programming something. And the horror strand, because I've got a special interest in Spanish horror films, was something that I was really pleased to work on. It didn't go without any hiccups, shall we say. I remember the Narcisco Ibáñez Serrador classic film, which I was so pleased that we had, Who Could Kill a Child, a massive cult film. And if anyone's not seen it, I recommend it highly, from the mid-1970s. And as we eagerly went into the cinema and I got up and I told everyone how brilliant it was to have the film started to play and realised that all the Spanish had no subtitles and all the English had English subtitles. So the next day when we showed it again, I had to go before the audience and say, stick with it because there's only a little tiny bit of Spanish at the beginning. And after that, the characters are two English tourists and they speak English all the way through. So it doesn't always go without hiccups, but we got through that one, luckily. And yeah, I agree, that was one of the great Viva moments. My other favourite Viva moment is we've had Alex de la Iglesia, one of my favourite directors, come a couple of times to the festival. And the second time he came was to coincide, just a personal plug, with a book that I'd co-written with Nuria Triana and Peter Buse about Alex de la Glacia. And he turned up and I was able to introduce him to my brothers, who were big fans of his film Day of the Beast, more of which later. And when they said they'd got a book and everything, he sat down and drew a cartoon in it. He had been an illustrator beforehand, so they still have that at home in Ellesmereport, in pride of place, as one of their great Viva memories, but it's also one of mine. Okay, so that's some of the highlights of the past, but we're hoping, even though we're celebrating 25 years of Viva, that we're going to be going for a long time in the future, and there'll be more highlights, and hopefully some of them will come from 2019. One thing I'm particularly pleased with is over the past couple of years, in fact, since we've moved to home, Viva's had a sidebar or a theme to cluster around some of the central ideas, and this year we've come up with the idea of serious fun. It's quite interesting. Breno Callahan, who works with the visual arts team, he said to me when we were planning Viva, you know, I enjoy the sidebars, Andy, but they're awful serious. They're very political and serious. And so when we were discussing it, we came up with the idea of serious fun. So we're having fun, but we're not going to stop being serious, and we're not going to stop being political about the work that we do. And this year in that sidebar, we've got some really interesting films from the past. I mentioned Day of the Beast before, and we'll be screening Alex de la Glacia's Day of the Beast. We'll also be screening Alex de la Glacia's first film, Acción Mutante, both of which are really out there films which always get very, very engaged responses from audiences. We're really pleased about Acción Mutante because we're working with Home's Young Programmers, and they selected that film. And then we've also got a response to the film from some of the other young people who work with Home. So that's going to be a real night to remember. Have a look on the website to find out about all the details. And then last year, when we were talking to Pablo Berger, when he was here with his film Abracadabra, and we mentioned we were thinking of this idea, he said, oh, well, if you're going to show any film and it's with that theme, then you must show Berlanga's El Verdugo, The Executioner. And we were able to go, yes, that's on our list, and that's one of the ones we'll be showing, and we're pleased that we are showing that one. But he's a real precursor to the likes of Alex de la Glacia, and so we're going to show El Verdugo, but we're also going to show another of his films, Placido, again. That one was programmed with the help of Holmes volunteers. So we've really opened up Viva this year, and the sidebar, Serious Fun, has helped us work with a lot of the groups that do various things with Holmes. So that's, for me, going to be one of the highlights as we go forward, that we're able to do those things. I'll be doing an introduction along with Nuria Lopez de Olivia on the 24th of March, Sunday in the afternoon. You can watch that, and then you can watch the Placido film that I mentioned. So if you want to find out a bit more about the sidebar, come along to that. So plenty of the sidebar, which was my main interest. Now, while Serious Fun is the sidebar theme for this year's Viva, this year, 2019, is also a year that Home is celebrating Women in Global Cinema, a year-long series of events of which Viva is going to be part of. Rachel, you helped make sure that the Viva programme was also something that was part of celebrating Women in Global Cinema. Can you just pick out some of the highlights in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. So the aims of celebrating Women in Global Cinema are to foreground female creative talent. So that might be DOPs, producers, writers, or the creative roles, as well as the director whom we most expect to talk about. But also, particularly for Viva, we're looking at as well at the female stars of films. And we're really proud to say that 19 of the films in the whole programme, which is quite a large proportion, fit that bill, that celebrating Women in Global Cinema bill. Some examples of that include Yuli, which is a rags-to-riches story of Cuban ballet star Carlos Acosta, whom I adore. Unfortunately, Carlos couldn't make it here. He's just taken on a really major role. But the film is sure to be a success with his fans. Another favourite of mine, which again fits this celebrating Women in Global Cinema banner, is The Silence of Others, a really, really affecting documentary about a search for justice for victims of political brutality. It's a truly moving film, which to me is essential viewing, and we're pairing the screening with a discussion afterwards, because we're sure that people are going to have lots and lots of things that they want to talk about and lots of ideas that they want to learn more about. And the third film that I'd recommend out of those 19 titles is Alanis, a film from a female director from Argentina. This is her fifth feature, and she's the writer and director. And it's a really interesting slice of life character study about a woman who is raising her young son. And the performance and the interaction between the two actors is amazing. So we're presented with this snapshot of Alanis's life as a prostitute, and it's an emotional film, quite a tender film in parts, but very matter of fact. There's no judgment and there's no negativity around her life as a prostitute.
Now, it's funny, Rachel, you should mention Alanis, because that's one of the films that we've got a Q&A with. And Ellie, you mentioned how Q&As were something that you particularly liked about Viva earlier on. Jesse, as well as Alanis, there's a few other Q&As, as we always do with Viva. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so I'm delighted that Anahi Bonnery is coming over with Alanis. She'll be here for a Q&A on Thursday, the 4th of April. As Rachel mentioned, it's her fifth feature, and we have actually shown two of her films previously. In 2006, we had A Year Without Love, and in 2008, we had Encarnacion. So you might already be familiar with her work. She teaches at the National Film School in Buenos Aires. I think she's going to be a really interesting guest. It's a really fascinating film. We've got five Q&As in total, but just one more that I want to mention at the moment is Andrea Jaurieta coming over with Ana de Dia. Again, she teaches film. She's a Madrid-based filmmaker and film lecturer. I think she's going to be a great guest. This is a really interesting film with another viewpoint on the female experience. It's about a young woman who is somehow expelled or has the opportunity to leave her life behind because a mysterious doppelganger suddenly appears one day and takes over her job, takes over her fiancé, takes over her family relationships. She's sort of forced to, really, but she leaves her life behind and she's given the opportunity, the very strange, unusual opportunity, to really start again, to recreate her persona, to investigate a different version of the life that she could lead. And she ends up in a much sort of seedier side of Madrid, getting a job in a cabaret bar and all sorts of things. It's really interesting, but it's really, really beautifully created, the music, the visuals, the editing, it's great. So I think that'll be another great Q&A with Andrea Jaurieta.
Yes, Jesse, I think you'll find all the best people teach film.
So as well as the Q&As, one other thing I want to mention is the Bigas Luna tribute, which we're hosting this year at Viva. This is actually a touring season of films and events developed by Betty Bigas, his daughter, and also Santi Fuz Hernandez from Durham University. This Bigas Luna tribute has actually toured around the world. It's been to Australia, it's been to Costa Rica, and now here it is in Manchester. So we will have three screenings from Bigas Luna at home over the weekend of 29th, 31st of March. In case you're not familiar with Bigas Luna, the first film we're screening, Jamón Jamón, from 1992, is the film that launched the careers of Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem. It is, what can I say? I think in the brochure we've said sex, drama, ham and naked bullfighting, which really, you know, sums it up pretty well, I think. So not only do we have the film screening with an introduction from Santi, but also after the film, with your ticket, you get a free glass of cava or bottle of Cruz Campo in the cinema bar. So yeah, come along for the film and the drinks after.
One of the other things that Viva has a history of doing and is often something that audiences really respond positively to is around Spanish languages, and this year is no exception. Ellie, you've got a few highlights of the more language-based things that we're doing this year.
Yep, we've got the Language Lab on Saturday the 30th of March. That's being led by Anna from the Instituto Cervantes. That's one for Spanish language learners with conversational Spanish. Nothing too intimidating, though. There's an accessible Spanish intro to our film that we're screening, which is an English subtitle screening of Miriam Miente, or Miriam Lies. It's a lovely coming-of-age story set in the Dominican Republic. It follows Miriam, who's preparing for her big 15th birthday party. And not only is she facing the normal social pressures that any teenage girl has to face, she's also got to deal with a lot of racism and class conflict that occurs within the Dominican Republic. After the screening, there's an opportunity to practice Spanish while using a specially designed study pack, looking at all different themes, family relationships, adolescence, the concept of a 15th birthday party or a quinces, identity politics, racism and class conflict, a wide range of topics to look at and practice your Spanish. If that's not enough, we've also got the Café Cervantes on Sunday the 7th of April, again in collaboration with the Instituto Cervantes. It's an opportunity for Spanish speakers of intermediate level and above to come and chat in a relaxed environment, talk about Viva, what you liked, what you didn't like. Not that you'll hate anything, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very relaxed, very fun. Jesse and I will be there practicing our Spanish. Así que venga y disfruta.
Well, I can remember walking past the Café Cervantes once, having forgotten it was on, and wondering what all these people in very intense conversations about something were up to. It looked really, really good fun. So that's a good one to look out for. Now, one of the things, I think you hinted at this earlier, Jesse, that over the years, Viva has built a reputation for is its opening nights and the events around the opening night. And it would be remiss of us all, I think, not to mark the fact that it's the 25th anniversary of Viva this year. So what plans do we have up our sleeves for the opening night this year?
Yeah, okay, so this year the opening night is Friday, the 22nd of March. It's a Friday, so there's no excuses. No one, hopefully, is in work the next day.
Unless you're working on Viva, of course.
Obviously, I'm in work every day. But yeah, starting at 6:30 in the ground floor bar, we've got music and we've got a cake, a 25th birthday cake. I'm not quite sure how big that should be, but yeah. And there will be something going off with a bang just outside afterwards. Details, TBC. But the main event on the opening night, as well as the partying in the bar, is the UK premiere of the new film from José Luis Cuerda, Tiempo Después, or Sometime After. It's really quite a coup for us to get this UK premiere, not only to have the premiere, but to have the director here in person for a Q&A afterwards, which is amazing. He is a kind of legend of Spanish cinema, and this film is... I mean, I watched it and I saw definite echoes of Life of Brian, Monty Python's Life of Brian. It's really fun. It's a kind of surreal, absurdist comedy set in the distant future, but in this sort of desert area of Spain. It takes aim at all sorts of Spanish institutions and archetypes and stereotypes. As I said, with really great kind of surreal, absurdist humour. José Luis Cuerda developed a cult following of his 1989 film, Amanece, que no es poco, which I think translates as dawn, which is no small thing. It is dawning, which is no small thing. This is very much in the same kind of vibe. Again, it was absurd and surreal and strange. I haven't got to see that one yet, but I must see it before he arrives. So in case you're not so familiar with this director, José Luis Cuerda, he was the writer-director of Butterfly's Tongue, which we had in Viva 2000, starring Fernando Fernán Gómez, and also The Education of Fairies, which we had in Viva 2007, starring Ricardo Darín. And he was also been the producer on three films by Alejandro Amenábar. And he won the Goya for Amenábar's Thesis in 1996 and the English language ghost story The Others, starring Nicole Kidman, from 2001. So he's obviously worked with loads of big names. It's a big deal that he's coming. We're really pleased.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's difficult to appreciate how significant some of the guests are, and I think this is a great example of that. He is, you know, without a doubt, one of the key figures within Spanish cinema of the past 30 years or so. I'm really excited about the fact that he's going to be here. And also, the film is potentially more bonkers than even your description suggested it was. So I think audiences will really like it, and it fits perfectly with our serious fun theme. So everything is coming together like a well-laid plan, and that's what we want everyone to think. Okay, well, that's great. I mean, this year, as we say, celebrating 25 years, we're all really excited about that. All the details of Viva can be found on their home website at homemcr.org. The festival's running, as Jesse said, from Friday the 22nd to Saturday the 13th of April. There's all sorts of events that we've not been able to cover in this brief highlights celebration, or celebration of highlights, however which way you want to put it. Thanks to Rachel, Jesse and Ellie for joining me. And hopefully we'll all be here for Viva 26, and hopefully we'll see you all across Viva 25. Cheerio!